Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, the GMC Sierra EV Denali Edition arrives with 440 miles of range. The Ford F-150 Lightning restarts deliveries with a flash trim. And Nissan's big battery bet. Plus, stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you what Honda said yesterday about their plans to catch up with the EVs in China. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. EV News Daily is your trusted source of EV information for Wednesday, the 17th of April. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We're live at 5 p.m. UK, that's midday Eastern. Patreon supporters get the shows as soon as they're ready and ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with news of Tesla stopping their offering of discounts on their inventory EVs, affecting all models, the S, the 3, the X, and the Y. In the United States, the shift away from price reductions follows a period of significant price adjustments over the last year or so. Going back to 2022, from memory, they started to increase vehicle prices. Then last year, they started to systematically lower the prices, sometimes 20% at a time on some models and trims and specs. And then in April, the price reductions really kicked in at the end of Q1, end of March, beginning of April. We saw $5,000 price drops for many of the long-range and performance Model Y vehicles, over $7,000 for the rear-wheel drive versions. And I've been telling everybody who would listen when they say, what EV should I buy? I like this, I like that. At that price point of $35,000 or $37,000, if you get federal tax credits in there, get some state incentives in there, maybe you're trading in a vehicle, you end up buying a brand new car for not a huge amount of money out of pocket. But now they've gone. The CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, on his social media network said, "We are simplifying and streamlining the whole Tesla sales and delivery system. It has become complex and inefficient." I'm not really sure what that message means, but it did coincide with all of those discounts on inventory vehicles going, which raised many eyebrows. Despite the past price cuts helping Tesla achieve sales records of 1.8 million vehicles in a year, the strategy has at the same time diminished their profit margins. In the first quarter of this year, Tesla experienced a significant decline in delivery numbers compared to previous years, marking the first dip in sales in, well, post-pandemic times at least. This period also saw the company manufacture way more cars than it delivered. That's a trend that's persisted for 7 of the last 8 quarters. And so the idea that they don't want to sell inventory cars anymore is nothing. Is something that is surprising. Of course, they do want to sell inventory cars. They have more than ever on their books. But it is the beginning of the quarter, and if you are new to the podcast as a listener or a viewer, then let me explain how Tesla works, my friend. No, but, you know, tongue slightly in cheek there, but this is the beginning of the quarter. They haven't traditionally incentivized buyers to jump on the end of quarter bandwagon and get that vehicle. Now, of course, they do have significant inventory to shift, so I'm not downplaying the situation, but I would bet my house on the fact that those discounts come back. If you need to buy a brand new Tesla, you want to buy a brand new Tesla, and you know anything about the way that that model works, you just wouldn't, unless you are completely insensitive to price, you probably wouldn't buy one in the first couple of weeks of a brand new quarter. If you can delay your purchase until, and make sure that you do have it all signed, sealed, delivered by 5 p.m. on the last day of the quarter. If you can wait till mid-June, I think you'll certainly find those discounts coming back, significant discounts. We also think that there may be some additional benefits thrown in, maybe some supercharging. We know that the full self-driving transfer from an old vehicle to a new one seems to have come back indefinitely now after a one-time only amnesty last year, according to their CEO, which then happened again, and now it's just there, it's just a thing. So lots of reasons, lots of benefits to wait if you can, and you don't need a vehicle straight away to buy your Tesla towards the last 2 weeks of a quarter. You traditionally get yourself a better deal. And now the end of discounts indicates a potential strategic movement to maybe stabilize or enhance their profit margins. We will find out more on the earnings call next week. An Autoblog report today claims that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, is investigating the Cybertruck following reports of the accelerator issues, which are now widely reported. The NHTSA is probing into a safety concern with the Cybertruck after one of the owners of the vehicles posted a video online of the plastic silver trim cover over the actual accelerator pedal came off. Now, the accelerator pedal on the Cybertruck is bottom hinged, not top hinged, so you need to push down with your foot but also exert a forward motion as well. And the pedal is actually a dark grey, almost black piece of plastic, the physical thing that you're moving. If you have a Cybertruck, you've seen inside, the little silver coloured thing is just a piece of plastic trim. But question marks over how that is attached, the glue or the bonding, because on this person's Cybertruck, as he pushed down with his foot, the trim slid off the pedal, and there's unfortunately in the bulkhead of the vehicle, if you like, where your feet sit, a nice little cavity where that piece of trim got stuck and held the accelerator pedal down at 100% full throttle. The owner, Jose Martinez from California, uploaded the video to his social media and didn't expect such a big response, describing the incident while he was driving as scary, but he kept his head, put the foot on the brake, which of course safety cut out, stopped the vehicle. It didn't carry on accelerating forward, but the Cybertruck, a very high-powered vehicle, very high-performance vehicle as well, which has now caught the attention of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and they have requested more information from the car maker. Earlier this year, on the 9th of February, Ford issued a stop sale on the Ford F-150 Lightning. Now, Ford has restarted deliveries of their electric vehicles. It goes beyond just the electric versions, though, following a pause that lasted over 9 weeks because of a quality concern, and Ford not confirming what that quality concern was. I read multiple reports online. One of them seemed to center around issues with the lights or a part around the lights, but that is pure speculation. The halt in shipments from February the 19th, just after this year's model year began distribution in January, was a bloody nose for the company. Even though production continued at Dearborn, their Michigan facility, during the period, shipments of the hybrid versions and the gasoline versions of the F-150 were also delayed, resulting in many of those pictures you may have seen online of parking areas around Detroit filling up with F-150s. These resumed. Now, specific details regarding the quality issue not being disclosed, but Ford did reduce prices of some F-150 Lightning models recently by 7.5%, about $5,500 discount, partially rolling back a price hike which had come in earlier this year. In the first quarter, Ford reported a big increase in sales of the Lightning, with 7,743 reported. That's 80% more than the same period in 2023. Now, the 2024 F-150 Lightning features several updates, including a new trim. Let me tell you about that. If you'd like to get yourself the flash trim for the Ford F-150 Lightning, you'll be delighted to hear that online ordering is now available, with shipments originating from their Rouge EV Center. The 2024 model year upgrades include several things like a new heat pump system designed to enhance energy efficiency. The instrument cluster now features an updated charging speed display, real-time data on charging status as well, like completion time estimations, an enhanced standard towing technology for the XLT trim and higher, like smart hitch, onboard scales, the 360 degree camera, pro trailer backup assist, and to the hitch assist as well. Pro power onboard functionality to use the truck's power even when the vehicle is turned off. The walk away lock feature enabling automatic vehicle locking, and this new flash trim, like I mentioned. F-150 Lightning flash debuts with a starting MSRP under $70,000 and a range of 320 miles per charge. A 15 and a half inch touchscreen display. Lots of tech inside, lots of tech in the powertrain. Like I say, the new heat pump system as well for efficient temperature controls. And you now, obviously, as a Ford owner, would get access to Tesla's supercharger network via that J3400 adapter. So you can plug it into your CCS1 socket on the side of your truck, providing access to over 15,000 fast charging stations. Now, for my YouTube viewers, I'll pop something on screen so you can have a look. Just a table of the various prices and some of the recent price reductions, the new 2024 MSRP. As you can see, for the flash trim with extended range battery, 320 miles. Some say this is the real sweet spot trim at $67,995, and there's 2,095 delivery on that. But you can see the pricing all the way from the 63,000 XLT standard range all the way through to the platinum extended range, even above the Lariat trim, and the options I'll pop on screen as well, like the tow package and the black package as well, if you want to order that from May. All right, headline story today. Thank you for waiting so long for us to get to our headline story, and that is the GMC Sierra EV unveiled for deliveries this summer with extended range and some advanced features as well. GMC announcing today the 2024 Sierra EV Denali Edition 1. Coming this summer, arriving with owners this summer, an enhanced range as well. Get this, 440 miles surpasses the initial 400 miles estimate. There's still not an EPA official certification, but it won't be far off, will it? 440 miles, the range increase is, of course, supported by that hefty battery. I would suggest that this is the 24 module battery that we find in the Hummer EV, and there'll probably be a 20-module battery as well. You would think mimicking the larger and smaller battery options on the Silverado from the 3 to the 4 trims, I would have thought. But what, 212 kilowatt-hour battery in this? The Sierra EV is the pinnacle of luxury in electric trucks when it comes with the Denali badge and that Edition 1. It's got a crab walk mode, so they've put that technology into this as well. They talk about the advanced maneuverability, the likes seen in the Hummer. Is that any use to you in real world? I'm not so sure, but it does get the headlines. The Denali Edition 1 is priced starting at $99,495, including delivery. So that is genuinely a five-figure truck. If you can get it under 100 grand, it includes the 24-inch wheels, which we saw over a year ago when this car was first revealed, this truck was first revealed. They weren't the production spec tires, but it was certainly running on 24s, which they said this vehicle will be, and that is continued with the four-wheel steering, the air suspension, the 16.8-inch touchscreen, and GM's Super Cruise driving assist technology. It'll come with the dual-layer battery pack as found in the GMC Hummer EV. So, of course, that means 800 volts charger compatibility, but also 400 volts charger compatibility because it can split the pack. The setup allows for 100 miles of range added in just 10 minutes if you arrive at a low state of charge and all things are optimal. But we know if you do treat the Hummer EV battery pack well and you plug into the right charger in the right conditions, it will go to 350 kilowatts and it will just sit there. It's a charging beast, and this vehicle will be no different. It will also feature substantial towing and payload capacities, maximum towing 10,000 pounds, payload of 1,450 pounds, and of course it'll have all of that power, I want to say Pro Power, that's Ford's branding, it'll have all of that power on board for you to use, an output capability of 10.2 kilowatts. That's very, very impressive. I'll pop a picture on screen of what it looks like, and you can see those power flaps, 240 volts and 120 volts in the bed for you if you are camping, if it's a work vehicle. This is a truck with truck chops, and you can go and take this to places that don't have generators and you don't have power, and you can use that 10.2 kilowatts of combined power. We should talk about performance. It will be 754 horsepower, 785 pound-feet of torque, acceleration of 0 to 60 miles an hour in 4.5 seconds, which does line up with what we were told over a year ago at the launch of this vehicle as well. This is by putting electric power into the Sierra. As we've seen with all of these vehicles, these established nameplates that go electric, they are always the most powerful, the fastest, the most ridiculous vehicles. And yes, of course, 440 miles of range is a great headline figure, and that will be reduced if you use the truck for truck things like towing really big loads. And it's not nearly the weight, it's nearly always the aero inefficiencies of what you are towing, which really does affect your range. But with over 200 kilowatt hours of energy stored, you are certainly going to be in the best possible place if you want a luxurious truck that can also do truck things. Let's talk about the midgate. I'll pop a picture on screen right now of a canoe in the back of it. It does have a 60-40 split midgate, and if you do take the midgate down all the way, then yes, you can take the glass out of the rear as well and have that wide open space. This is fantastically practical. We've seen this on other trucks as well, but it's so good to know that it's here on this luxurious truck that, like I say, will just pamper you and be full of luxury, but still do truck things. Yes, we can talk about the price being $100,000. And yes, I've seen many comments online from people saying $100,000 for a truck. Wake me up when I win the lottery. No one pays that, but genuinely they do. I know this is a lot of money for a truck, but that's not outrageous for a truck. $100,000 for a very fully specced, high-end luxury truck is not unusual. In fact, that 100K, that 99495, is significantly less than what we heard over a year ago at the launch of this vehicle, when we were told it's going to be coming out for the beginning of 2024. So they're a little bit behind on this, but I think you put up with the delay on this vehicle for getting $10,000 off the price, a much cheaper entry price for the Denali edition than we were told. There will be an off-road version, the 84 model, and a more affordable trim, of course. So people do lose their minds over $100,000 trucks, and I sympathize. I know where you're coming from with that. It's a fabulous amount of money. But of course, there will be, you know, the elevation trim. That's probably going to start around $50,000, if not less, to try and target that very competitive position against other electric trucks like the Ford F-150 Lightning and the Rivian R1T. So I've been putting plenty of pictures on screen right now for my YouTube viewers to hopefully have a look at the various features. I must admit, not that we're going to get this vehicle over here. We wouldn't. There's no need for this vehicle to come over here. But very distinctive, and I'll just pop that final picture back on screen so you can see that distinctive front end with the daytime running lights, those DRLs that run along and down as well. We haven't even talked about the frunk, a huge frunk, because there's no engine in this, so you can move those front seats forward. You can move the back seats back a little bit and have loads of interior room because there's none of that drivetrain to worry about in the traditional combustion model. And up front, a huge drained frunk as well, with a big drain hole in it. So very practical in the rear in terms of doing truck stuff, but very practical in the front as well. Need to remind myself whether there's power up front on board as well when you open up the frunk, but I know it is drained and I know that it's going to be a very practical space. It's just a huge space in the front of this, and a very imposing vehicle as well. You see that in your rear view mirror behind you. You know exactly what it's going to be. So there is obviously those inevitable similarities to the Silverado and the Hummer. And if you squint looking at the pictures, you can see those similarities. But with a 440 mile range, very, very high performance, unless you are doing hardcore towing multiple times, you know, a day or a week, then you should still buy a diesel for now, or a petrol, and that was going to get you through the next part of this EV transition. For everybody else, and I kind of wish we had the truck here, not that it would suit these roads. Everything's too small over here. You know, you wouldn't get in car parking spaces, but I would love to see that on the roads over here for the handful of people that wanted them. The vehicle makes me smile, and I love seeing stuff like this in a way that the Hummer makes me smile because it's ridiculous, but I'd never want to either own one or even see one. You'd be like, well, that's just silly. Whereas this, looking very, very conventional truck-like, but with obviously a distinctive front end, not needing a grill. What do you think of this? I would love to hear from you. Am I overreacting in my enthusiasm for this? Bearing in mind, it's not a vehicle that, I would buy anyway because we don't need it. But I just think it's interesting and cool, and it's got massive range. And yeah, that's achieved by putting in a massive battery. But all of those things considered, I think this should be a very popular vehicle. Let me know, though, in the comments, or you can email this show anytime you want to. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. If you're enjoying the podcast today and you're watching the YouTube version of this, I would be so grateful if you could help me get to 10,000 subscribers by the summer. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up as well if you are enjoying this, and it always helps other people discover this show on YouTube and the algorithm as we try to spread the word about EVs far and wide. Now let's talk about an electric vehicle, which is now open for orders, and that would be the ID7 Tourer, the estate version of the ID7, starting now at £52,240, slightly above the cost of the ID7 saloon. The ID7 Tourer comes with extensive standard features like the LED headlights, the roof rails, the 19-inch alloys, keyless entry, the ambient lighting inside, heated steering wheel, reversing cameras, the 15-inch touchscreen. The software is way better in these new versions of the ID cars. By the way, the screen's not only bigger, but it's so much snappier And it's so it's so much better than that first ID3 I had when the ID3 first came out. And I had it and was like, oh my goodness, this is such a letdown. The new ID vehicles, if you haven't tried them, I really encourage you to try the latest software. There will, of course, be an ID7 GTX and Protora S equipped with an 86 kilowatt hour battery. 425 miles of WLTP range on this, by the way. So if you are getting this to do some, so pound out some serious mileage on the motorways, it will certainly do the trick. I think two trims on this, a vehicle that is similar but different to the Passat, I would say. It's a bit shorter in length, but it's a bit wider and a bit taller than a Passat. There is the Tourer Pro, featuring a 77 kilowatt hour battery and 175 kilowatt DC fast charging. Then there's the Tourer Pro S with a couple more modules, 86 kilowatt hour battery. That is the one with the big 425 miles of WLTP range, and it will peak charge slightly faster at 200 kilowatts. Both trims, of course, powered by the new Volkswagen AP550 electric motor on the rear axle, where it should be, 282 horsepower, 0 to 62 miles an hour, 0 to 100 kph. Not off the charts on this, doesn't need to be under 7 seconds. That's not what this vehicle is all about, but it's on sale now. Let's talk Lotus next, and Lotus is launching the Eletre. That's their SUV or hyper SUV in North America. Got pricing on this as well. Customer orders now open for the Eletre. If you want the SUV in the US and Canada, marking a big step in their shift to get these vehicles outside of the places it's already delivering in. The Eletre is being produced in the $1.2 billion facility in China, where Lotus emphasizes the quality of these cars being built, very high performance, of course, alongside the Evija and the Emeya. The Eletre, now open to order. This one's a dual motor, all-wheel drive system, 111.9 kilowatt hour battery on an 800 volt platform. Now, for North American consumers, the standard Eletre starts at $107,000, about $127,000 Canadian dollars, and the Eletre R for more performance, faster acceleration, starts at $145,000 or $179,000 Canadian. Full link in the show notes if you'd like to find out more about this insanely high performance vehicle. Well, the numbers are coming in for Q1, and in the first 3 months of this year, if you look at China, Europe, and the USA, well, let's talk about how many EVs were sold collectively, should we? Are you ready for the big number? 1.75 million BEVs in the first quarter of this year. That's an 11% increase on the same time a year ago. As for plug-in hybrids, 1.1 million plug-in hybrid vehicles. That's up 52%. On the same time last year. And who was leading? Well, China leads the way with about 1 million BEVs registered in the first 3 months of the year out of the total 1.75 million pure electric cars sold around the world in the first 3 months of the year. What's all this talk about a sales downturn in EVs? Almost 2 million EVs on the road in the first quarter of the year alone. Now, BEV registrations across the regions increased year over year from Q1 last year to Q1 this year for both pure electrics and for plug-in hybrids. Germany was previously the top European market for EVs. It's now the UK. We had a great 3 months to start the year. 84,000 new pure EVs, up 11% year on year. The UK's total electric car registrations, which includes plug-in hybrids, 127,000. Now, that edges out Germany and France. France having 119,000. I think, well, maybe that was Germany's figure, 119. France reporting growth with 80,000 pure BEVs, and not far behind Germany, the market which was once well ahead of everybody, the European EV leader, now leapfrogged by the UK and perhaps even France if Germany's EV sales don't pick up following the abrupt end of their subsidies at the end of last year. We'll watch that market with interest. Nissan next, and they are building a pilot plant for solid-state batteries, all solid-state batteries, the real deal, in Yokohama, highlighting its plans to lead in next-generation EV technology. The company showcased its developing facility and announced plans to pilot a production line for these advanced batteries. The pictures they released don't show a huge amount. It's a bit like an empty factory. If you're expecting to see lots of interesting batteries being made, this isn't what they were saying. This was more about the announcement of how they're going to target the commercial availability of solid-state batteries by 2028, with the first prototypes in vehicles by 2025. The plant aims to produce 100 megawatt hours of solid-state batteries monthly, starting in April 2028. Again, these are for prototype vehicles to begin with. Then they will work towards commercializing this technology. And solid-state battery technology has been coming and coming and coming. A bit like hydrogen power, and it just never seems to take off. They just can't commercialize it in a way that makes sense. I'll pop a link, a story on screen rather. The headline being, my YouTube viewers can see this, Nissan unveils prototype production facility for solid-state batteries. This article? 2022, it was placed on the global Nissan newsroom website. Fast forward over 2 years later, and a similar story is out that we are now paying attention to. This does seem to be, I'm not saying they're lying, I'm just saying this is a development today that we can talk about. They're adding some numbers to it, 1.2 gigawatt hours of annual capacity within 4 years once they start making it, they say. In contrast, others are not there yet and don't have similar plans. Toyota have talked about solid-state battery technology forever. They plan to start pilot production in 2027, 3 years after Nissan's pilot launch. And the likes of CATL, the world's biggest EV battery maker, talking recently about how they have invested billions in the technology. And they say it is simply not going to be ready on the timeline that their competitors are saying. Don't believe the hype, I guess, is CATL's take on it. But that's Nissan's take today. We'd love to hear what you think. I will stay in Japan, and Honda's launched a brand new electric vehicle brand called Yi, or Yay, in China. This is the third EV initiative in the country, following the E:N brand and the Lingxi brands. The Yi brand aims to cater specifically to the preferences of Chinese buyers on an all-new platform they're calling Architecture W. Announcing the unveiling at the unveiling event, it will release six EVs under the new Yi brand by 2027. There will be a GT car, which for my YouTube viewers, I'll pop on screen. That's the one in the middle, by the way, the low saloony vehicle, the GT looking vehicle, I would say. Mass production in 2025, say Honda. The two other models, which are the more crossovery SUV type vehicles, the P7 and the S7, available by the end of this year. The manufacturing of the vehicles handled by a mix of GAC Honda, the JV they have there, and also Dongfeng Honda, the partnership that they have there with Dongfeng in China. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you would like to find out more. It's one of those stories that is really only affecting Chinese buyers to begin with. But we're watching the likes of how Honda, Nissan, Toyota are reacting as the world moves to electrification, knowing that the Japanese, once dominant exporters of vehicles, are kind of having their crown taken from their head just a little bit. So these stories are interesting to see how they're responding, but this is how they're responding in China to the wants and needs of the Chinese buyers. I reckon we've got time for three or four more stories on today's podcast, don't you? We'll start with Archer Aviation. I interviewed these guys last year, and they seemed very pragmatic, and maybe that appealed to my British sensibilities, but they weren't talking about how they were going to, you know, take over the world. They were talking about how they were working their way through various tests and compliance with the FAA, and how aviation can't be rushed and you must take safety extremely seriously. And they seem to be saying all the right things that appealed to me. Anyway, Archer Aviation seem like the real deal, based in California. Over 1,000 employees, according to their LinkedIn page that I checked this morning. That's not official from them, but I had a quick look at some of the people who I'm connected with at Archer, and it's had over 1,000 employees there. So again, they seem to be the real deal. Now completing battery pack drop tests at the National Institute for Aviation Research. These tests are vital for validating safety and durability of the eVTOL, which is electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. Testing these batteries by dropping them from a height at different states of charge. The battery packs will continue to function correctly after the drop tests, showing how robust they are. They use cylindrical cells in the packs. Passing the tests are going to be crucial to achieving FAA type certification for these vehicles, among the most demanding challenges, these tests for the certification process, and they came through that with no issues. And if you are, again, new to the podcast, and we don't talk about aviation a lot, but this is battery-powered short-haul flight. So a bit like being in a bit of a cross between a plane and a drone. But it's very interesting, the partnerships they have going on already. Maybe we should do a little eVTOL special sometime at the weekend on the podcast, because I'd certainly think at the moment, there's lots of hype around it, of course, but for certain journeys, you know, if you're in New York City and you've got to get out to JFK and, you know, you're a business and you've got the money to try this new technology, if you want to go from, I don't know, San Francisco to Los Angeles, or I don't know what the distance of that is, but, and, you know, you can afford to, the kind of person that would take helicopter flights or whatever, by using electrical power and scaling these businesses, they can bring the costs down to make them more like air taxis. But it's something that I think there's definitely a market for. And it looks like they're approaching this with a safety first, a kind of assessment of the business. And we watch it closely. Well, a couple more stories, and this one coming in from Green Car Reports points out that China's battery manufacturing capacity for electric vehicles actually surpasses the entire global demand for EVs. Such has been the rush to build out capacity in China. According to Bloomberg New Energy Finance, the global demand for battery cells, including those for EVs and energy storage, last year was about 950 gigawatt hours in total. Meanwhile, China has been building out capacity and reaching about 2,600 gigawatt hours of capacity, doubling the global demand. By the end of next year, 2025, the projected global manufacturing capacity will be 7,900 gigawatt hours against a demand estimate of 1,600. Even half of this projected capacity would suffice to equip every new car sold worldwide next year with a 50 kilowatt hour battery. China is not hanging around in building out their battery production capacity, knowing what is around the corner as we all electrify. Well, I mentioned CATL already, the world's biggest maker of EV batteries. They're, of course, Chinese, and their profits are up in the first quarter of this year. Their gross margin reached its highest level since the third quarter of 2021. Their net income for the first quarter was up 7% compared to the same time last year, despite a global slowdown in automotive sales, serving major car makers like Tesla, VW, even Toyota. CATL's a big player in the EV industry. Despite somewhat of a cooling demand, particularly in North America for EVs, CATL continue their expansion. They say they're strongly managing costs, and analysts highlighting about the effective cost controls they've put in place as a key factor in these better than expected financial results. And it's good news that their financials are good, because their innovation seems to be on track as well. CATL is launching the Tenor, T-E-N-E-R, Tenor, a storage system. They unveiled it in Beijing earlier this week. It's an energy storage system claimed to be the world's first that offers zero degradation over the first 5 years. They come in energy packs of 6.25 megawatt hours for grid-level storage and battery energy storage systems. It comes in a shipping container-sized footprint with LFP cells inside. These are a type of cell that has very high energy density, but very good for battery energy storage, they say, because they have simulated 5 years of use with zero degradation, they say. The introduction expected to drive the widespread adoption of energy storage systems, something that Tesla say is increasingly a key part of their business, as Tesla's automotive business, they say, is between growth phases. They're pointing out other things that Tesla do, like robotaxis and energy storage, but they are not the only ones that can lay claim to having good technology out there. And CATL not only dominating in the world of EVs, but energy storage as well now. Thank you so much for listening and watching today. That's your podcast. If you'd like to get this show ad-free and to get it earlier than everybody else, well, then you can do become one of our Patreon legends. Get on the legends list at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily for $5 or $10 a month, like a couple of posh coffees. Really be an executive producer and get your name in the show notes every day at EVNewsDaily.com. Don't go and look at the website. I do it myself. I want to teach myself WordPress. So I thought, well, I'll do a little website. I like it as a little project. I could outsource it and have it look 10 times, 100 times times better. But, you know, I wanted to learn. And so evnewsdaily.com is where we put all of the show notes, all of the links. And you can see it every day. I update it at 5 p.m. every day. And you get your name on there as well. If you want to be one of our exec producers or above on Patreon, no pressure. You don't have to. The show will always be free online, with a few ads here and there to support it. This is how I make a living, though. And thanks to our premium partners on our Legends list. Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati. Audi of Cincinnati East. Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel. Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one man. Funny, I've only said it like 1,000 times. Sorry, Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging with one app and one map. And LeasePlan Electric Moments, providing all the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good and see you tomorrow. I'm off for a lie down. Oh, remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.